Well, there we go. What's up, everyone? Aaron Egler here, Cheesehead TV, coming to you live with some extra cheese. That's right. Hey, bye week's over, baby. Time to get back at it. The Packers were back at it on the practice field today. And two names emerged from practice, returning to practice, are Equanimeous St. Brown and Kamal Martin, two very exciting prospects for the Packers. Obviously, Martin was having a phenomenal summer at inside backer prior to getting hurt. Equanimeous St. Brown, I would say, had a nondescript summer, but still could probably contribute on the offensive side. Was inactive week one and then popped up on the injury report with a knee injury prior to being placed on injured reserve 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago now. Both players are now eligible to be brought onto the 53-man roster anytime within the next 3 weeks. That window began the moment they stepped on the football field during practice today. And there are two open spots on that 53, which you have to assume are being held for Messrs. St. Brown and Martin. But the one injury note that probably is of concern in a major way is Kevin King. He did not participate today. He was injured. I believe it was a quad during the Monday Night Football game against the Falcons. That's concerning considering how much time has passed. He's still not able to practice. Hopefully, the medical staff is just holding him out and being completely conservative. Maybe he's back out there on Wednesday. We won't get our first injury report until Wednesday afternoon. And then another name that didn't participate today and hopefully, again, is just being held out as a precaution is Tyler Irvin. Now, he hasn't been incredibly productive, obviously, but he is a pretty, I don't say important, but an integral part of the offense, especially when it comes to getting guys to take false steps, a lot of that jet sweep stuff they do. Obviously, sometimes they hand it to him, they have thrown it to him, they hand it off, etc. Not a guy you can't find someone else to, replicate that production, but he does offer something, a skill set that isn't widely distributed along the Packers offense. So we'll see how that plays out here over the next couple days. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. Haven't even finished my intro and I got a super chat. Martin and Barnes excites me. Yeah, I mean, that could be a fun duo. No doubt about it. I mean, I think Summers has done some, yeoman's work, but getting Martin and Barnes on the field together would be a lot of fun. And who knows? We'll see what happens when Kirksey comes back, although he probably won't be back until early November at the earliest. Krista, hi, how are you? John, thanks for joining me. Good to see everybody. Kamal emerges. Joey, I hope so. I really hope so. Patrick, you're up very late over there in Europe. Hope you're having a good evening. See what else we got. Patrick, thank you for the super chat. Does Big Dog play today? Go Pack Go. Oh, yes, Patrick. He was back at practice. I know he missed practice quite a bit last week and then did not play against the Falcons. Hopefully the bye week seems to have done a world of good because he was participating today along with Devontae Adams, Rashawn Gary, and Kenny Clark. They were all out on the practice field today. So that's obviously bodes well leading into Sunday's game against the Buccaneers. Though it is early in the week, we have had guys practice early on and then drop out as the week progresses. Hopefully that isn't the case with any of those guys. How long before Kamal Martin has his game legs back? Pogs, that's one of the things they use this evaluation period for. The rules state once they practice, they have a 3 week, it's 21 days to activate them to the 53. Sometimes they take all the time allotted. Sometimes they'll do it within a week. Sometimes they'll do it 2 weeks, et cetera. We'll see. And they don't have to do it until Saturday. So we'll see. Obviously something to keep an eye on over the weekend. I think they'll use all the time they can leading up to Sunday's game. I would be surprised if either one of them are activated for the game against the Buccaneers, but it's happened before. We'll see how the week progresses. St. Brown will have a statement game against the Bucs. All right, Curtis, slow down. Let's see if he gets activated first. And if he does get activated, let's see if he even dresses. Cause there's, even if you're on the 53, there's no, guarantee that he's going to be on the game day roster. He wasn't in week one. So, baby steps. Let's get him out there. Really cheering for EQ to make it. Now, Luke, there I agree. 100%. I really want this guy to succeed, especially considering some of the bullshit I saw online today regarding his injury and being out so long. Look, I mean, I understand being frustrated when players miss a lot of time due to injury. But there is no way that you as a fan, speaking generally here, of course, are as frustrated as the player, ever. Just try to remember that when you go off about them or on them or to them online. Chris Barnes, the GOAT. All right, Josh, why not? Yeah, Chris Barnes, the GOAT. I mean, that does tell you the state of inside linebacker play over the last, two, three decades in Green Bay when Chris Barnes comes in and has essentially four decent games and everyone's like, oh, my God, this kid's amazing. And he has been playing well, don't get me wrong. But Chris Barnes, the GOAT, man. we need trivia back, Nagler. Big B ain't happening until the offseason. So just wrap your mind around it. Maybe we'll do it. If the Packers go to the Super Bowl, we'll do Cheesehead TV trivia from Radio Row, which will probably be virtual anyway, but we'll see. Good evening, Nags. Hope you're well, sir. What's up, old timer? How are you? What am I drinking? Beer. That is correct. Where do I see Kamal Martin fitting in? What's funny is that and there's a real good chance that Barnes runs away with the inside backer, number one inside backer spot. We'll see how Kirksey progresses back from his injury. That's a ways away. Barnes could really kind of put a stranglehold on that gig. I think Martin slides back into the role where he was this summer, being that second inside backer, the guy who's there maybe, 30, 40% of the time. But I think that's where he would fit in nicely next to Barnes. And I think those two guys would complement each other pretty darn well. The thing I keep thinking about is how surprisingly physical Martin was this summer. It's not something I would have expected. I saw a guy on tape anyway from his time in Minnesota, really sideline to sideline, bit of a ball hawk, disruptive. But I did worry, as anyone who, hung out in my daily chats this summer, I did worry about his ability to get off blocks, be physical in the running game. And man, when they had those sessions at the end of practice this summer, where they had all the young guys, quote unquote, go as close to live as possible, he had some hellacious hits and was incredibly physical. And I hope that continues to develop and translate to regular season, because Lord knows, A, the Packers could use it. And B, it's just so exciting to see some physicality from that position. I mean, I don't think I jumped any higher on Monday night than when Chris Barnes blew up that attempt at pass pro on the blitz. That's exciting. That's like Desmond Bishop-esque, and that's what this defense desperately needs. Olive, get that dog yet? No. Actually, my girls just left. They say hi. What was your favorite Aaron Rodgers throw of all time? Of all time? It's easily a throw that didn't count, which is, and everybody knows, remembers the throw when he's getting basically sawed in half by a Bears defender, and he tosses it, flicks it essentially across his body, 50-some yards in the air on a fucking dime to Davante Adams, which would have been a touchdown, except Corey Linsley got called for a bullshit holding penalty. You know, some people call it domination. The NFL sometimes calls it holding. But Corey basically dominated the guy and got a flag thrown, so the throw didn't count. But it is absolutely not only the best throw I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers make, but it is one of the best throws I've ever seen on a football field ever in the history of my life. And I've been on this planet 46 years. Oh, shit, 47 now. The girls make fun of me because I can never remember how old I am. I saw on Instagram your dorky sidekick got some new glasses. Yeah, I saw Corey modeling his Jair Alexander specials there. Hope he wears them on transplants on Wednesday. By the way, make sure you're tuning in. Packer Transplants, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. Going to be a lot of fun. Cameron, thank you for the super chat. If for whatever reason we part ways with Pettin, do you think Dan Quinn is a name that comes up? Thanks for being awesome. Go Pack, go. Cameron, you can't discount it, right? We've heard Matt LaFleur talk often in pretty glowing terms when it comes to Quinn and his effect on him as a coach, the things he took away from his time with Quinn. I suspect he'd probably go another direction, but it would depend on what he's looking for scheme-wise, fit personnel-wise, etc. There's a long way to go before we get to that conversation, but do I think he'd be on the list, so to speak? Yeah, I think there's a decent possibility. No question about it. David Decker, you're old. Yeah, thanks, Coach. Breaking news. Popeye's beef, what's up, buddy? Will Packers' defensive tendency to allow the short yard plays play into Tom Brady's tendency to dink and dunk? What's funny is that that has not been his MO under Arians, which I guess isn't surprising given that Arians always wants to push the ball down the field. I think Tom did a decent job of it Thursday night against the Bears. We'll see. We'll see how they play. And I think a part of that is going to depend on who they have out there personnel-wise. I mean, it's a whole other world if it's Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson as opposed to Jaire Alexander and Kevin King. So I do think Brady has the ability to carve them up in a really frustrating way. I also think that part of that is going to be dependent on how healthy they are. The Bucs are kind of banged up at wide receiver, much like the Packers have been. So we'll see what they cobble together. And it'll be fun to watch Mike Pettine try to formulate a game plan. I tell you what, though, here's the thing. The Buccaneers' offensive line is really good. And there's no question about they, very much like the Packers, are the engine that drives them is that offensive line with their quarterback. And the quarterback's ability at the line of scrimmage to recognize things and get in and out of stuff and manipulate the game, etc. But I tell you what, if they want to try and push the ball downfield on this Packers team, they could be in for it. I mean, you put the Smiths out there, and I know we need to get Preston going, but you put Zadarius and Rashawn Gary, who's now healthy and back at practice, and Kenny Clark is back at practice, and you start trying to push the ball downfield, have those long developing routes that Arians like so much. Well, okay. Good luck, as Morgan Freeman said in Dark Knight Rises. Let's see what we got. Nags being in our late 40s just makes us well-seasoned. I'll go with that. That sounds good to me. Love our backs anyway. We resign both Williams and Jones, or Dylan make that a no-go. John, it's not that Dylan makes it a no-go, but Dylan does make it a long shot. Dylan being on the roster and being drafted certainly gives them the leverage to say, you know, hey, we got this young kid ready to go. So, hey, if you want to give us a monster hometown discount, go ahead. And obviously, I think the priority will be Aaron Jones, much to Big B's dismay. And I think Jamal Williams is going to make a decent amount of coin out in the open market. He knows this. And as much as they probably like to keep him around, yeah, they, you know, as many questions and mouths to feed as there are, considering the salary cap and the number of people they want to be able to retain, it just doesn't make any sense to keep both of them. Again, unless they both agree to a monster hometown discount, which isn't going to happen. Aaron Nagler for defensive coordinator. You've never seen me play Madden. A nuclear family, thanks for the super chat. What was your initial impression of LaFleur after his first press conference? I remember thinking he was shy and the stage was too big for him. Wrong. Well, I don't think it's unfair to say that he was certainly nervous. I don't know about the stage was too big for him, but the thing that struck me was I wanted to see the guy that we kept hearing about from Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst in regards to how he commanded the room and absolutely blew their socks off as far as his preparation and his passion. That was stuff that you didn't really see in that opening press conference, right? Now, again, that's no knock on him. Yeah, he's nervous as hell. He has had this meteoric rise onto the stage of one of the flagship franchises of the NFL. Of course, he's going to be a little nervous, but yeah, that was a day where I was like, man, I really want to see the guy they described, and that wasn't him. And I will tell you, much like Mike McCarthy, when you get Matt in a private setting and just like the cameras are off and he's just chilling, that tends to come out, especially if you get him talking about football, which he almost is always doing anyway. That's when you really see it. So I suspect, you know, he has gotten a lot more comfortable in that regard. So I don't think there's any question that that side of the job is becoming a little bit easier for him. But I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, smooth, polished, like Kyle Shanahan throwing off quips, whatever. But he's gotten a lot better at it. And look, it doesn't matter if you win the press conference. All that matters is if you win the game. New Jersey checking in. What's up, Lugman? How you doing, man? It went way better than Gase's press conference, Julia. It's a fair point. I think the inside linebackers have a lot of potential, could surprise people. I mean, yeah, you got to say the emergence of Barnes is obviously a pretty significant surprise. I don't think people who are pining for Patrick Queen are going to give that up anytime soon because that guy is fucking phenomenal. Had another really nice game for the Ravens on Sunday. But, man, I tell you what, it's just nice to have competent play at inside backer. Again, that's – again, you know, it's no knock on the guys who have been here. No knock on A.J. Hawk or Blake Martinez or, you know, Christian Kirksey. It's just It's just nice to see some athleticism and recognition and playmaking ability. It's been so few and rare and few and far between. It's just hope it continues and continues to grow. Jim, shave. No. Just because you said I'm not going to shave till Sunday. I'm not going to shave until the Packers lose. How's that? Next, is this Pettine's last year? He's so frustrating at times. This is Pettine's last year. They're 4-0! Come on. Can we at least let them go, like, 10-6 and have three of those be games where, the offense couldn't get going and the defense couldn't bail them out? Let's let it play out a little bit before we start talking about Pettine's last year in Green Bay. What if they win a Super Bowl? What if they win the Super Bowl? In a game where they give up like 300-400 yards, but have two picks and a safety. Are you still firing him because he's frustrating? Come on, let it play out, man. I would hate to be any defense that has to play this team. Who do you cover? Yeah, Aaron, that's the thing. You got to defend concepts more than you do players because they've shown time and time again. It doesn't matter who's out there. And that's what we talked about all offseason. It's about those five eligibles, whether that's a wide receiver, whether that's a tight end, or whether it's a running back. You put those five blocks of granite out there as offensive linemen. You got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and then you mix and match. And good luck if you're a defense. And yeah, you want to key on Davante Adams. You want to slide coverage that way. Oh, great. Roll over there. I don't care. I got all sorts of other toys to play with if I'm Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, it's a definite pick your poison when it comes to the personnel, which is why, as a coordinator, I think you have to just try and drill down on the concepts because that's the one chance you got. We will be holding you to your word about not shaving. Yeah, cool. At least we don't have Dallas's defense. Yikes. No doubt. Very, very true. Who's the biggest threat the Packers face in the next four games? Player, not team. Woo, Nathan with a barn burner of a question. I'll pull up the schedule here real quick. Over at CheeseheadTV.com, under schedule, current season. Player, man, that's a good one. See, most of the main, that's tough, man. Probably Tom Brady. I would want to say J.J. Watt, but I think they can block him. I think they can scheme him not into irrelevance, but they can get the ball out of Aaron's hands before it's a problem. Deshaun Watson could give them trouble. There's no question there. But I think their secondary can hold up. And then it's Minnesota again. I mean, I sure as hell don't – not scared of anybody on that squad other than Dalvin Cook, and who knows how long he's going to be out after last night. And then you get to the San Francisco game, and, I mean, it would have been Bosa, but – he's been out. So, yeah, I don't know. Nobody really. Probably Tom Brady, I think, is the one guy who could really wreck them, so to speak. Lloyd Dixon, RIP, shaving till February. Hey, we'll see. There you go. What's your impressions on the management hierarchy a year and a half in? It's got to be working, right? Sanjay, that's a really good question because it is something that you have to let play out. And it was a hot topic when Murphy made the moves he made. Funnily enough, I discovered today, did you know that Jed Hughes of Korn Ferry, the search firm that the Packers have utilized a number of times and has been utilized and is being utilized by, I believe it's the Texans right now in their search for a GM. Jed Hughes has a podcast that Mark Murphy was a guest on. I had no idea until today. So I went and listened to it. And Mark gave some really interesting little tidbits about that whole transition into, having the coach and the GM and Russ Ball all report to him, the changing of the hierarchy. And look, I said at the time, we have to let it play out. And I don't know if I chastised, but I chided a few people in regards to their instant reaction to it. And I understood it. I wasn't a fan of it as someone who grew up with the Packers and how terrible they were and how the executive committee was way too meddling, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then to have Ron Wolf come in and essentially save the franchise and have that structure in place for this incredible run of successful football, it's understandable that people were a little reticent to get on board. But at the same, and like I said at the time, you got to let it play out. At the same time, we're still in the early flushes of that decision. I mean, yes, the early returns are excellent. There's no doubt about it. But Gutekunst is still on his first contract. Matt LaFleur is only 20 games in. Things can change real quick. Again, it's all great right now because they're winning and things look great and things feel great. And it seems very on the up and up and it's successful. Exciting. I'm sure Mark Murphy is very pleased, but it is still early. Now, they go on and win a bunch of championships. I don't think anybody's really concerned about any of the hierarchies or who reports to who. But they start to struggle. People start to get a little frustrated. You know, you get some press leaks here and there. So-and-so saying such and such behind the scenes, etc. Ooh, baby, that's a dry bunch of kindling, just waiting for a spark. So it's something you still have to continue to let play out, I think. I think it's just a little too early. But like I said, early returns, very, very positive. Oh, boy. I see when I talk a while, then I get super chats. And I got to get them. Kenny Clark update. Eric, he practiced. That's your update. Jeezy Baby 43. Carry the G. Go Pack Go. Keep it up, Cheesehead TV. Thank you for the super chat. Really nice of you, buddy. What else we got? Lloyd, thank you for the super chat. Wait till next September. Sorry, we were winning the Super Bowl. All right. I'm down, man. I am totally down. Andy, thank you for the super chat. Nags, greetings from up north. Never saw where Martin actually played in camp. Could he be on the field at the same time as Barnes? Yes, 100%. He often played next to Christian Kirksey, and Barnes has been playing the Kirksey role, or he did, sorry, on Monday night. So, yeah, I think it's interesting because they've done a lot of the mixing and matching with the third safety. They've had a bunch of plays where they've had Chandon Sullivan and Raven Green on the field at the same time in lieu of a backer. But I think that might tend to change a little bit if Martin, you know, shows up and plays well and or at least practices well and is able to get his legs under him, so to speak. I do think you're going to see him out there quite a bit in those two backer situations on early downs. Any updates on EQ or Martin? Well, they practiced today. That's all we know. We'll see. They have 3 weeks to activate the guys. And they have 2 open spots on their 53. So we'll see. Why are we working out kickers? I saw that. Vecchio was in town for a workout. Much like Brian Gutekunst talked at the start of camp, almost every workout you're going to see, because a lot of people are privy to them now because of Twitter, those are almost all about fact-finding, information gathering, and emergency call lists. Each team has a list of basically of 4 or 5 guys at every single position, basically ranked in order of preference, who they would call in case. So let's say Mason Crosby gets hurt or gets some kind of, maybe has a COVID issue, etc. Then they want a list of guys that they can call. These workouts that you see, mostly, not all of them, but most of them are just fact-finding, checking boxes. Okay, how's his leg strength, so to speak? Like, what's his workout? What are his workout numbers? And they've had him in camp before, so they're probably comparing them to previous numbers, et cetera, just updating their information. That's what most of those workouts are about. So I would suspect there's nothing wrong with Mason, but we won't know for sure until Wednesday when the first injury report comes out. But my hunch is they're just keeping track of their emergency list. What's up, Nags? What do you think the plan is for Tampa? Nathaniel, the plan is to go down there and announce their presence with authority. You know, I understand they've got a good defense, a lot of talent there. I don't see how they keep Aaron Rodgers in this offense down for very long, especially with Davante Adams back. I do think there will be moments where, you know, they are able to frustrate the Packers, but ultimately, I still see the Packers scoring at least, you know, 3-4 touchdowns. Give me 3. Let's say 3 touchdowns and a couple kicks. How about that? I just think they're too multiple. And the fact that, yes, they have a few fans in attendance, they're allowed to have a few fans in attendance, it's not going to be enough to stop Aaron from being able to communicate to the offense at the line of scrimmage. And that's obviously a big key. I just think that will play a large, large role. There's no doubt that on the flip side, on the defensive side, I think a lot of it will be playing cover 2 shell, keeping things in front of them. It's going to be a frustrating day. I would suspect it's going to be a lot like what we saw out of Patton and company in Kansas City last year, where, you know, Matt Moore was allowed to be very productive, but a lot of it was due to the fact that they were playing so far back with their safeties to allow everything to happen in front of them so as not to allow for any big plays. You know, Arians likes to dial it up. He likes to push the ball down the field. And to keep that from happening, they're going to play, I would suspect, that two deep shell a whole lot against Brady and the Bucs. All right, guys. I think that's going to be it. I just want to make sure I didn't miss any super chats. I don't think I have. So there you go. That'll be it for today. Can't thank you guys enough for joining me here as I'm waiting for Monday Night Football to kick off. Please do me a favor and hit like on this video. Subscribe to the channel. And if you're so inclined, consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. It helps support everything we do, including 5 hours of live streaming each and every game day. We'll be back on Sunday with 5+ hours of pregame, watch party, postgame. Myself, Corey from Green Bay, it helps support everything we do. If you can't do that, I understand. No problem. Just hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. And as Luke says in his final super chat, carry the G. Thank you, Luke. And thank you, everyone. Have a great night.